Hi everyone, and welcome to the VookCast, Australia's Nintendo podcast. My name's Angelo Valdivia, and with me this week are Oliver Brandt.
G'day folks.
Andrew Sells.
Hey everybody.
And the mother brain of the site himself, Daniel Vukovic.
Good morning.
We've got a great episode lined up for you this week, all about the Nintendo 3DS. We'll be looking at the highs and lows of its lifetime, some of our most memorable experiences with the system, and some of the weird things to come out of that time period as well. But for now, let's kick things off with the announcement of the system's discontinuation. So Nintendo of Japan's 3DS page was updated last week with a big red notice saying production of the main body of the Nintendo 3DS series has been discontinued. This now marks the end of the system's nine-year lifetime, with the accumulated worldwide sales of the hardware series reaching over 75 million units sold. The most recent release on the system was Persona Q2 back in June 2nd, 2019. So guys, how do we feel about this? This is quite a landmark thing. It's not unexpected at all, but it's still kind of a sad day in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly surprising that the 3DS lasted as long as it did, especially with how immediately successful the Switch was. I think we all kind of expected that it didn't have much life in it, like, even though Nintendo kept on saying, like, you know, we've still got plans for the 3DS, we're still going to keep doing things. The releases...
You never believe them when they say that.
Andrew, last year you had a really interesting series of articles that went up on the site, just spanning a whole bunch of really interesting points about the 3DS. So it seems like, you know, you've really kept your finger on the pulse a little bit about this hardware and things like that. Like, you know, as we were just saying, like, do you think that, you know, it was even worth not announcing that the 3DS was discontinued like a year ago? Like, do you think it was worth those kind of sales still going forward?
I think the writing was always on the wall. Nintendo were always pretty happy to say, oh yeah, no, we're going to continue to support this. And everyone knows it becomes pretty clear when one of their systems is dead and buried. But no, I loved the 3DS. I thought it had such a great library, and I was one of the people that was actually a really huge fan of the 3D. I was pretty sad to see it sort of fade away towards the end of the system's life. But yeah, I think, you know, the things I've sort of covered in that series of articles. I thought the 3D was great, and I think Street Pass was just such a cool and interesting feature that became so synonymous with the system. I think it's sad to see it go, but you know, it had a pretty good run. It's hard to follow up the DS given how successful that was, but so many great games. So.
And Dan, you've been watching Nintendo for a long time. You know, Vux is just over 20 years old at this point, or coming up to 20 years old. I can't remember off the top of my head. And you've seen systems come and go, obviously. But like, in terms of like between the Switch and the 3DS dying, what, that's like 3 years, so 3.5 years at that point. With other handheld systems or other Nintendo consoles in general, has there been that stretch of a lifetime? I can't remember for the life of me how long, you know, it took for the DS to be discontinued into the 3DS's lifetime, for example.
Yeah, I couldn't give you an exact date, but I mean, if probably the most recent things I can remember are like the Game Boy Micro, where they tried to inject that last 6-12 months out of it. And then the DS had like the eye revisions really late in the game. But also, when you see 2 or 3 of the last generation games be ported to the system, that's when you know it's dead. So the 3DS ended on what, Kirby and a whole bunch of WarioWare mashup port. The DS ended on, I think, the 3DS was Xenoblade as well, wasn't it? So yeah, you got 3 last gen games, and that's when you know they're done with it, because they just put the B teams on porting leftovers to it, and everyone's moved on.
It's interesting you say that, considering Switch has been doing really well with ports and re-releases this year. Does that mean that the Switch is on the way out as well?
Well, it could be. I mean, this is the Switch Pro, isn't it? Isn't that what everyone's saying?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think like another thing to note is that, like, especially on the handheld side of things, it seems to always be, you know, there's a little bit of a wait for basically like Game Freak to to get their shit together and release a Pokemon game. But like, as soon as a Pokemon game has actually been released on the new system, I mean, like, it's game over. So like the 3DS launched in like 2011, but it wasn't until 2013 that the first Pokemon game came out on 3DS. So it sort of, you know, the DS enjoyed that the extra couple of years where, you know, it wasn't a must-have to upgrade to the 3DS. But like, especially when talking about handheld consoles, like, it's really just that like Pokemon is the system seller there, and it always kind of has been.
There's an interesting point there, because Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, they came out in November, like 7 months or 8 months after the Switch came out. So Game Freak were not ready to leave the 3DS. They were like, you can tell they didn't even think it was probably going to take off the Switch, and that's why they got something out like Let's Play, where it's sort of like, oh, what can we port quickly? And then, you know, Sword and Shield took a lot longer to come out than you would think of a new Pokemon game on a new system would.
So you mean, well, wait, yeah, so Sun and Moon was like end of 2016, wasn't it? And then Ultra Sun and Moon was the year later.
Was, yeah,
in 2017. Yeah, so that did come out after the Switch. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
Yeah, like into the holiday season where you had Odyssey out. I think Odyssey was like the week before or 2 weeks before or something like that.
And then there was a couple of weeks before.
And then there was the Metroid 2 remake as well that came out in like September or August or something like that of 2017, again, after the Switch had come out.
Yeah, like, so again, you know, old ports.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, not, I guess it was a remake. But
yeah, it was a straight up remake, yeah. Rather.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I think one of those things that, like, oh, I was just going to say, like, Nintendo is, like, a little bit concerned about, like, stock just sitting on shelves. And, like, after the Wii U, like, you can't really blame them for that. But, like, they do make a lot of weird choices towards the end of, like, a console generation where they just, like, sort of just churn out things that, like, would have been really good on the next system. But
like Metroid.
Yeah, like Metroid. Like, I know a lot of people would have just absolutely loved the hell out of Samus Returns on Switch. And, like, I've not actually bought or played Samus Returns on the 3DS because I'm pretty convinced that, like, as soon as I do, it's just going to end up on Switch anyway.
I will say on that I was so happy to have that game on the 3DS because it's the end of dual screen gaming saying goodbye to the 3DS, and having that permanent Metroid map on the bottom screen is really, really, really useful for that game. And, you know, that's been a core part of Nintendo's design since, you know, the DS launched in 2004. So, you know, that's a big thing that the end of the 3DS is marking as well, the end of that second screen. So, yeah. Bit sad to see that go. I think people sort of forget at how, you know, when done right, how good that could have been. That was in certain games.
The same with the touchscreen as well, because the DS was popular before the iPhone and the App Store, and everyone was playing touchscreen games on that. I mean, there was Palm Pilots and things like that before, and, you know, Leaps, Delete Pads and all that kind of stuff, but actual games centered around touch. And now you can play Fortnite on a mobile device and on a touchscreen. No one looks at you weird, but, you know, pull out a stylus and play a DS game, 15 years ago?
16.
Ah, crap. And then, yeah, you look like a weirdo, but now you see kids in the shops, they're playing Fortnite on their iPads and on touchscreens. It's just there.
Touching is good. Remember that ad campaign?
But then, like, even, like, talking about, like, the 3D thing, like, the 3DS came in sort of, like, at the height of 3D popularity and did it better than anybody else was really doing. Because, like, you know, we had, like, active shutter 3D TVs that, you know, weren't super great. Sort of, you know, lens shifting 3D at cinemas that, you know, was fine, really. But, like, then the only other way to, like, have sort of 3D in, you know, a portable format was sort of to have, you know, those crazy red and blue cellophane glasses.
Or a virtual boy.
Or a virtual boy, but that's a whole other thing. But
the headache boy.
You know, Nintendo came in and, you know, they have this fantastic stereoscopic 3D system that, you know, doesn't require you to wear goofy glasses or give you headaches or anything like that. It was just the best way that technology had been presented to date. And, you know, it was the only one that sort of stuck around after the rest of the 3D craze kind of died down a bit.
I guess the only thing with the 3D is that didn't work in their favor was that every, well, mostly in America, every game had not suitable for children on it, on like Kirby and Pokemon. And that was a downside, I guess, that they had to put that there because of hysteria around, well, 3D might hurt your eyes or something. But, and I guess that's why the 2DS came out. And I'd really like to see the split between the 3DS and the 2DSs now, especially at the tail end. I'd have to look that up, but that'd be interesting.
That's an interesting point, actually, that, you know, Nintendo's been pretty hard into like parental controls and things like that. Like you can't even see how long you've been playing a video game for on the Switch without parental controls on your phone or anything. But as if there wasn't like some sort of limitation on the 3DS hardware itself within the firmware where you could just turn on parental controls and you just can't turn 3D on for your kids or something. That might have been something they could have done.
I think that was in there.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It wasn't in there at launch, but it was implemented pretty quickly after they were required.
Right, okay.
I remember if you turned it off at the hardware level, some games like Street Fighter and Dead or Alive ran at 60 frames as well. Like you could turn the Switch down, it would still be 30, but if you actually turned it off in the render, in the settings, the render wouldn't render the second frame, so it would get a speed boost.
That's right, yeah.
No, yeah. DOA ran at 60, even if you just...
Oh, was it? Oh, yes. Yeah. Must have been Street Fighter then.
Yeah, I think there were a few games that did that for sure.
There were a lot of games that like sort of had like massive performance issues when like 3D was turned on.
Pokemon.
I mean, I was sort of like dancing around it, but yeah, Pokemon is obviously like the main one there. Like it, you know, X and Y was fine. It wasn't great, but it was fine. And then like Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire and then into Sun and Moon, like, you know, any sort of double battle was just an absolute nightmare. Yeah. I remember like watching the World Championships for Pokemon when Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon were like the standard for that championship, and it was just like, you know, two legendaries on each side with, you know, wacky waving limbs and all that stuff, and it's just like, you know, running at 10 frames a second, 15 frames a second, because it just couldn't do it.
All right, well, let's get into some of our favorite memorable moments, because we've been covering some of them so far. I'll quickly go first because I've got the least listed here. But mine, towards the top of the list, is definitely just experiencing the 3D for the first time. I actually have the Vooks announcement article here from E3 2010 where the 3DS was announced. And
typos are there?
Oh, probably a few. Yeah, I can't tell, but on like the third paragraph, you've got new features include a huge 3.5-inch 3D widescreen display, which I guess at the time was pretty big for, you know, a handheld device. But I remember like looking at that for the first time and like, yeah, like by today's standards, like 3.5-inch screen is pretty tiny. But at the time, like that was incredible to see the 3D working like that. It was a little bit janky because the viewing angle was so narrow, like you had to hold it like perfectly with like within a foot of your face and at the right angle and things. But it was pretty remarkable to see that for the first time. And then, of course, when it got to the 3DS XL, it worked a little better. But in terms of like games and to really show off what the hardware could do outside of 3DS, it was definitely something like Puzzle Quest, which was really cool. Just a simple little game, you know, you collect puzzle pieces from walking past people with street pass and things like that. And you can just put together these puzzles, which then turn into these incredible dioramas that, you know, are viewable in 3D that look amazing. Animal Crossing, you know, I'd gotten into Animal Crossing on the DS, and then getting into it on the 3DS was, again, a really great experience. It looked so much better than the DS version. Some new features in there, again, online was really cool. Having it installed on the system was just really convenient as well. It was a great experience for that. And then Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for me, being my first Monster Hunter game. You know, having that on a portable system, such a large game, really, really fun. I know, you know, the series was really popular in Japan on things like PSP, but I felt like the 3DS, I don't know, for me, I paid attention to a lot more, and I noticed so many other people were also playing Monster Hunter on the 3D, on the 3DS rather than the PSP, you know, around the city and things like that in Adelaide. So yeah, those experiences kind of really stand out to me for the 3DS. But what about you guys? Who wants to go next?
I'll go. See, I think, that dedicated handheld aspect of it was, you know, a huge part of so many of the big 3DS moments for me. So you sort of touched on Puzzle Quest, and I think the StreetPass software itself was hands down my most played software on the 3DS over the course of its life.
Absolutely.
I love Puzzle Quest, and yeah, any time you went to especially in the early days, like the early packs and EB Expos, you go there and, you know, you would get the flashing green light and you would go to your plaza and you'd have 10 people, and literally within 5 seconds, you'd have another 10 lined up ready to go. But back in those days, there was just, yeah, that the hype and the excitement around that was so great. I also worked at EB Games during the launch of Pokemon X and Y. That was back when Nintendo launched games on a Saturday. And that was the biggest, craziest launch over the 5 years that I worked there. It was bigger than GTA 5. It was bigger than the launch of the new consoles. There was just so many people in lined up for Pokemon X and Y that day. It was absolutely nuts. And the other big ones for me were just my obsession with both Mario 3D Land and Link Between Worlds. I thought 3D Land was just made the best use of the 3D, and I still don't think it was beaten in the entire system's life. And Link Between Worlds is, I go back and forwards on it, but it's probably still my favorite Zelda game of all time. I just absolutely love that game to pieces. So they are my highlights.
Just on that topic, though, like I would say that like the Kirby Triple Deluxe is also like a game that like really used the 3D well. It was one of those games that like it didn't really need the 3D, but having the 3D there was just, it just added so much more depth and flavor to the game. But I suppose like I'll talk about, since Andrew mentioned Pokemon X and Y, I went to the midnight launch of that. In Queensland, and it sounds like WA doesn't have midnight launches, so rip to them. but yeah, so I was at the midnight launch for that, and you know, it was the same night as like the midnight launch. They had a combined midnight launch for Pokemon, and also like I believe the Call of Duty game that was coming out that year was on the same day, and like just. They were like, oh, yeah, you know, Call of Duty people on one side, Pokemon people on the other side. And there were like, you know, four Call of Duty people and probably about 150 or so people for Pokemon. And then, you know, obviously we all lined up, we all like grabbed our game, and it just sort of like the impromptu thing that happens with handheld consoles is that like we all decided we were just going to chuck the game into our console, sit out in the car park and play up until the point where we could have a starter Pokemon only tournament and like just see who could win in these new games. And that's the kind of thing that like obviously like you can't do that with like a PS5 or, you know, an Xbox Series X. You can't just have everyone set up in the car park. But it was just like one of those really early moments with the 3DS that was just like, you know, this is what's good about handheld gaming for me. It's the fact that you can just like pull it out and have a game with a friend just whenever the opportunity presents itself. I will also mention like the 3DS had some pretty weird accessories at times. Maybe not quite as weird as like the Game Boy with its weird squiggle lights and stuff like that. But the Circle Pad Pro is probably like the biggest one that I think a lot of people forget about. But for me, it was just absolutely instrumental. You know, going onto Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, with the Circle Pad Pro, it was just a completely different experience. It was, you know, like console gaming, but on your 3DS. And Kingdom Hearts Dream
of Distance. I love the boat. I love the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you know, Kingdom Hearts Dream of Distance, which is my favorite Kingdom Hearts game, and you know, anybody who knows me knows that I'm a bit of a Kingdom Hearts nut. Yeah, just like that with the Circle Pad Pro was just a completely different experience. Like being able to control the camera like that was great. And like obviously like when the new 3DS came out and added the little nubbin, you know, there was no need for it anymore. But it's not quite the same, you know?
Yeah. What about you, Vuk?
Yeah, so I mean I have all those same sort of memories with like 3D World, 3D Land and Link Between Worlds and Animal Crossing. But I guess the 3DS, I guess, came for me in my life at a big time. It was probably the first game system that I covered, I guess, as a quote-unquote game journalist. Whereas everything before the Wii and the DS, yeah, I went to like fan events that Nintendo held for things like that. But the 3DS was the first one I kind of got as a review unit. The first one I got, you know, like an invite to the launch in Sydney. And I even went to Japan and I got paid by Hyper Magazine to cover it. And I was on the cover of that issue.
Wow.
So, I mean, I was kind of already going to Japan for a holiday anyway. And magically, the 3DS thing was on the same weekend. So,
stars aligned.
Yeah. So they kind of were like, yeah. I think it was Wild Goose said, you know, I'll give you some money to go cover it and to write some words for it. And I wrote that on the plane back. And and that was a really crazy event. Like, I was like one of the very few Westerners there. It was because it was a public event. You didn't have to pay, or you didn't have to be media or anything. So, yeah, I lined up for 3 hours to play Ocarina of Time 3D, but it was worth it. That was in January. And then by February, I was in Sydney for the launch when they announced the price. And it was like the first time I like live tweeted something literally from an event because we didn't know how much it was going to be. And that crazy $350 price. But yeah, when I was there, the then boss of Nintendo pulled me aside. Well, one of his helpers came up to me and said, "Oh, they want to talk to you. Do you want to talk to them?" I'm like, "Okay, what have I done now?" and you know, they just said they welcomed the coverage and, you know, how long have I been playing Nintendo for? Because this was one of the new ones. They always seem to have a new one. I love the 3DS, not just because of that, but when it came out, it was also when I started going out with my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and I was hanging out at her place a lot. And sometimes I took the Wii U there, which was a real pain in the butt. You know, two power cords, or just hope don't take the gamepad charger. Just hope it lasts long enough. So we played 3DS a lot and bonded over that, and that's a really important part of my life. So.
Mm.
I love the 3DS. I'm not sad that it's going. Like, it's had its time. I've got my fun out of it. I've got like 15 of them. It's really crazy. I love the 3DS. It's good. It's good fun. And yeah, seeing that 3D for the first time, you know, in Japan on holiday, it was just like mind blown. It was like just a really great time. Yeah.
Mm. Well, we've also got a response from one of our Discord fans, which you can also join the Discord for as well. We'll get into that later on in the show. But Oliver Winfrey reached out to us and said, the 3DS had some of the best limited editions for any console. My favorites were the SNES and Zelda Gold ones. I always wanted to get the SNES one myself. That was outside of the quote. This year, I think I've played as much 3DS as Switch, thanks to Puzzle and Dragon Z. And the form factor truly makes this pocket-sized system that will never be matched. Not to say, I tend to agree with some of his points there. I mean, this, out of pretty much any Nintendo system, this seemed to have like the most just different variants. Like, you know, not even just like hardware form factors, but just different collectible editions of the system. Like, you know, there was the Zelda ones, there was a SNES one, there were the faceplates that you could get. You could mix match, you know, different kinds of things.
Oh, the faceplates
were great. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Just absolutely nuts. And we'll definitely get to that in a moment. But let's talk specifically about some of the biggest events over the 3DS's lifetime. So, as I mentioned before, I've got the article here from June 15, 2010, which was written by you, Dan, talking about the 3DS being revealed at E3 that year. There were talks all through the previous 6 months before that E3 where people were saying, oh, you know, it's going to have a 3D screen and all this kind of stuff. And everyone was just speculating. And then when it came out, like, it was true that Nintendo managed to create a handheld system that had a 3D screen. And that was just so much buzz coming out of that E3 in particular. And then the system was released, 9 months later? It was March 2011, is that right?
I think it was March 31st.
March 31st, 2011, yeah.
And February 26th, I think, in Japan.
In Japan, right. And that went out for $349.95 Australian. Now, me being a massive idiot at the time, but thinking I was a genius because, you know, the global financial crisis was just sort of starting to settle down at that point, but the Australian dollar was doing really well against the US dollar, I thought, you know what, I'm gonna order this from the US because it'll be like $150 cheaper. And it sort of was. It was cheaper, but then I had the added bonus, you know, headache of the system being region locked. So I could only play US games on my 3DS. So basically all I could play was, what did I have? I had Street Fighter and something else that I didn't even think I played all that much.
And Steel Diver.
Well, definitely wasn't Steel Diver. But I just couldn't play anything else. I could only get stuff from the eShop at that point. I couldn't get an Australian cartridge and play anything.
Yeah, so I had a Japanese one sent over by FedEx. I paid like $100 just to get it, like 2 days after it came out in Japan. And I have like three Japanese games and I don't think I touched it once the English one came out because you couldn't even change it into English. It was just I can't read a lick of Japanese. So, the battery's swollen on that one now. So I had to pull it out. So it's, yeah.
Yikes.
That's a good reminder because half my DS's and 3DS's batteries are swollen too. So.
But that was back when the 3DS launched and there was the sort of metallic blue and the metallic pink one. And they had that weird kind of double or triple tone sort of design to those colors. So the three had like three different blues and the pink had three different pinks.
Yeah, the ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, that's right. And let's not forget either that the 3DS had a 3D camera on it that you could take 3D photos with. And my goodness, those were horrible to look at.
In glorious 240 by 120 resolution or whatever the heck it was.
That sounds like a bad resolution now, but it was a bad resolution then.
I remember I went to the Royal Adelaide Show. It was either later that year or the next year. I think it was the next year. I think it was 2012. So this was like 18 months later. And I saw someone at the botany pavilion where you just go around looking at flowers and stuff. And someone was taking photos with their 3DS. A year and a half after it came out, like in 3D with their 3DS, like they were taking photos of flowers. Really strange, but yeah.
You can view them on your 3D TV if you pull the SD card out.
Yeah, that was a good point, actually. Was this the first system, the first handheld Nintendo system to have SD cards? The DSi didn't, did it? I can't remember.
Oh, goodness me.
I remember the Wii did, and that was a big deal, but I don't remember the DS doing that. Or maybe it did. I can't remember. Unless you had like an R4 card.
I think the DSi had SD cards.
Okay.
I never owned one. I could be wrong.
Yeah, neither did I.
I've got so many of them I can't remember. What's going on?
That's all right. But yeah, so that price though, $350 Australian, like that was a pretty big deal at the time. It was pretty expensive. The battery wasn't fantastic on it. I remember that being a real complaint point for some people. It lasted like 3 hours, 3.5 hours or something like that.
Yeah,
which isn't much different to the Switch. But then later on that year, you know, there was a huge price cut because it just wasn't selling in America. That they took like $50 or $100 off the price and then Australia would have been similar. And then to sort of make up for that for early adopters, they had the ambassador program later on that year, which meant that, you know, anyone who bought a 3DS before some date towards the end of 2011, they got, what was it? It was five Game Boy Advance games and...
I think it was 10 Game Boy Advance and 10 NES games.
There we go. Something like that. Or Super Nintendo. One of those two. A bunch of games that they gave out for free. And none of them were resold on the virtual console platform or anything. They were exclusive to the ambassador program. You couldn't get those games outside of being an ambassador unless you, like, you know, pirated them.
Yeah, just that kind of move bonkers. has made me write an article a couple of years later, because all we would get was, why can't I have GBA games on the 3DS? And I still get about two or three people read that a month.
Yeah, I mean, we still get people like commenting on that article saying like, here's why you're wrong. And it's like, you know, it's been years since that article went up, but we still get the comments on it. But like, it was like the GBA games were sort of like a real, not very good hacky kind of way to play games.
It shut down the 3DS system, and because the 3DS had two chips in it, the 3DS chip was to power the 3DS top screen. The DS chip was to power the bottom one. And then it turned off the 3DS one and played the games on essentially a DS raw. So there was no menu, no options. They didn't sleep, anything. It was just running raw on the chip. So they're really rubbish. And they were dark. They had that dark filter that Virtual Console games had at the time, and it was just like horrible.
I made good on that about 6 months ago, though. Finally got around to playing Minish Cap on my 3DS.
That's all right. That was the first time I played it as well, was on the 3DS when it came out on the Ambassador program.
So, you know, I'm happy Ambassador, so it's fine.
And Metroid Fusion on there as well?
Fusion was on there
like
too.
One of the best handheld Metroid games. So good. I love that game so much. But yeah, as you mentioned before, Andrew, as well, Street Pass, you know, one of the, I think is one of the biggest like software innovations that Nintendo has had in a very long time, like even since really. Street Pass was just so good in a time when Nintendo was absolutely terrified to let like people communicate with strangers via their handheld systems. This system was all about doing that. You know, you collected data from other people who you'd never meet, like never had met before and probably wouldn't ever meet again. It was really, really interesting. And they had, was it called Street Quest or something like that? Was that the little RPG game?
It had two different names. I think it was Street Pass Quest and
something like that. And that was another great, silly little game you could just jump into, play a few rounds and then get out from, again, collecting characters through Street Pass and things. Really, really cool. So yeah, 3DS was just a really interesting time. Anyone want to add to anything there?
I'll just say that, yeah, I think they ended up having, what was it? They're probably 15 games or something like that on Street Pass in the end. It just, and even really, really late into the console's life cycle, I think they were still adding
the garden one, and then there was
stock market one and zombies.
I think they were cooking. They were actually the early ones. There was even ones later than that. Yeah. The slot car racing one or something.
There was a chef, Street Pass Ninja. There was an Explorers one. Yeah, stock market trading.
And they all cost money too. So yeah.
Oh, that's another thing that I think not a lot of people really bring up when they talk about the 3DS, but the 3DS Play coins. Were like just a really massively interesting feature. So basically, like, you'd earn Play coins from walking around with your 3DS,
but you could only earn 10 a day.
You could only earn 10 a day, and you could only hold up to 300.
What a weird limitation.
I know there were a lot of people that would just, you know, shut their 3DS and shake it for a couple minutes to get a few coins. But like, it was like a really interesting system because there were a lot of games that sort of implemented support for Play coins. So things like what was it? Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask had an option where, like, if you needed a hint, you could use, you know, the in-game coins there. But if you ran out of hints there, you could also use, you know, 3DS Play coins. And there were a lot of games that did sort of similar things where, like, you could I think, like, speed up timers in particular games, and like, there was just so many weird and random choices that you could do with the 3DS Play coins. And I think, like, that's just a kind of cool way to have sort of like a system feature that I don't think anybody else has really done before.
It just feeds into like Nintendo's weird habit of trying to improve people's like health by sort of changing their lifestyle a little bit, right? I mean, you know, we see that with the last three generations of systems, that they have this sort of weird focus on fitness or health in some way. And 3DS definitely had that as well with Street Pass, you know, going out and walking past other people or collecting coins in that way. And one of the other best features that was pretty much only locked onto the 3DS was the activity log, where you could actually just go back and see like how much you played of games over certain time periods and all these kinds of things, which we don't really get anymore. Yeah, I know, right?
Well, you know, Japan still has it.
In the app, yeah.
Yeah, they have a My Nintendo app that gives them a full activity log, just like the 3DS, but it just hasn't come outside of Japan.
I just remembered a game that probably no one here has thought of in a long time, but there was Face Raiders. Remember that little
that
little AR nugget where we had some AR cards that we would put down and we could scan them with our 3DS or take photos of our faces and things like that and put them into the games.
Nah, the best, really the best one was the best one was, I can't remember what it was called, but it was like a 2D side-scrolling beat-em-up where you took a took a picture of yourself in a punching pose and in a kicking pose, and then you did sound effects for each one. And then you would like go through and beat up enemies using your own photos of you punching and kicking. That was so dumb.
What a
so
strange cool. time that was, the early 2010s. odd
remember
time.
The AR cards that came with them as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine went missing like a week after I got my 3DS.
But then Nintendo made on Club Nintendo like a giant one. And you can have like this giant Mario in your house. Because all the card size was a direct correlation to how big the item would show.
Yeah, I remember there was an experiment or something like that, something that where someone made in Europe somewhere. They had this enormous one. It was probably like, you know, 50 meters wide or whatever. It was a huge one. They stood on top of a building. It was painted out or printed out or something like that. And they put it out in this quadrangle and they stood on top of a building and scanned it. And they had like this 100-foot tall Mario just standing in the middle of a thing. It was just so nuts, but it worked.
It was really cool. Interestingly, there were at least one game, but probably multiple games that kind of required AR cards as well. So the biggest one that I can think of is in Japan, when Bravely Default first launched, you could not start that game if you didn't have the AR cards that were required. Obviously, like the updated version that they got, and then like the one that was turned into like the international version here, you could, you know, just press X to skip past the bit where you have to scan an AR card. But originally when it launched, if you lost that AR card, you could not start a new game. You were just kind of shit out of luck.
So the old PC instruction manuals, what does it say on line 7, page 35?
Yeah, sure. All right, let's get into some of the different versions of the hardware in that case. So again, going back to one of the many features that Andrew wrote last year covering the 3DS, this one's a really cool one that just covers all the different hardware variants of the 3DS. So we've got the original 3DS, which is that weird sort of hamburger looking design that has the three different, you know, gradients of whatever color you get.
The layers.
Layers, there we go. And there were some really cool designs for this one as well. There was, you know, a couple of Monster Hunter ones I think I can see over here. What else is
there? There was those exclusive ones they had for the competition. Mm-hmm. The Peach, the Mario.
And a Toad one.
Yeah. Mm. I don't have one of them, but I know a couple of people who have one around. There was one guy in Perth has one. Yeah, but there's only like 10 of them.
Oh, I just remembered something that really... really bothered me with my 3DS. About a year after I'd gotten mine, and there'd been like rumors of this happening with people, but the clamshell design of it, when you close it, it actually, because it wasn't secure, like the two shells weren't quite so secure, that they would actually like shift a little bit if they were in your pocket, and they would actually scratch the top screen. And my top screen was scratched all to hell, along with a bezel sort of reached up from the bottom screen.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I remember that screen scratching.
That was a real problem. And then they sort of fixed that with the 3DS XL. So a nice little segue there. We get into the 3DS XL design, which was, I think, is a much nicer design, if a bit chunky, and the screen, you know, wasn't quite so improved. You know, they kind of blew everything up, still had the same resolution, but that meant that the image was even fuzzier because it was a bigger screen. But this is where the 3DS really took off, right? This is where the most sold, or sorry, where the sales started to skyrocket. You know, we started getting more trendy designs. You know, there's a really nice white design. I have the black one myself as part of the Monster Hunter bundle. Back in early 2013, but we also got some really cool just color variants on the buttons and things like that as well. The absolutely beautiful Animal Crossing one that has the little subtle Animal Crossing icons on it too.
The Zelda one, I have one of those, but the box is bent, so it's really annoying.
The Zelda one is one of my favorite ones, just because it has the Triforce on like the top half, but then like, you know, the bottom half it's like inverted and black, just like the, you know, the dark world in the actual game. Like it's such a cool concept. I've got one of those.
Yeah, I'm never gonna play that system because I don't want to wreck it because it's so nice.
Mm.
I've also got all the Pokemon ones, which are all hideous. I was going to say that it was a good Pokemon one.
I was going to mention the Pokemon X and Y ones.
I don't hate them. Like the blue one, like actually looks quite nice. You know,
yeah, I like the blue one. It's got a really nice metallic sort of shine to it.
There's also the really, I think, is kind of cool Smash Brothers one. I'm completely forgetting that there was also a version of Smash Brothers that came to 3DS as well as Wii U.
I remember going to
order one of those at through the EB website, and then the website crashed the morning they went and did the pre-orders. And they were like, sorry, we screwed up. We'll do this same time again next week. And in that week span, they announced the new 3DS. And so everyone was like, okay, I don't want this after all. And so you can get one so easily the next week if you wanted one, because everyone was like, no, I'll just wait for the new one.
Well, it's good to see that EB Games website has improved in the years since.
Some things never change.
For sure. Then we also got the 2DS, which is definitely one of the weirder designs of a Nintendo system. That weird just kind of wedge shape, doorstop kind of looking thing. You know,
and also the first one without 3D. So
that's right. Yeah, didn't have really. Went back to that smaller screen, right? It wasn't the same screen as, or the same size screen as the 3DS, right? It was smaller.
I think it was the same screen as a normal 3DS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the original.
Right.
But yeah. It was interesting though. Yeah, I know exactly what you're going to say. It's just all one screen. They've just masked off.
That's right. Yeah.
The sections that are not used.
The efficiency of engineering design stuff, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, that was more geared towards children. It was much cheaper. You know, it wasn't going to make your kids go blind or cross-eyed or anything like that, thank goodness, I guess. And then we got,
I actually just an interesting story on the 2DS. I actually got the pink 2DS because it launched on the same day as Kirby Triple Deluxe, and I had pre-ordered Kirby Triple Deluxe. And just when I went to pick up my order from EB Games, they handed me the game and the pink 2DS. And I was like, I didn't pre-order this. And they're like, oh no, we're just like have excess stock. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, it's coming out today. Like, I have no idea what was going on there. I'm pretty sure it was like some sort of like dodgy thing going on, but like it got me a pink 2DS. So
that's strange.
Nice.
How odd. Then we get to the new 3DS, and this is where we got the faceplates and things like that, where you could change your faceplates, completely customize the look of the system. I was always kind of cut up that so there was a new 3DS and the new 3DS XL, and they came out at around the same time, right? Did they launch together?
Yeah.
We actually got them first.
That's right. We did too. Yeah.
And we did our very own Nintendo Direct for them. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was a weird time.
But I was always disappointed that you could not get the colored, the Super Famicom colored face buttons on the 3DS XL. You could only get that on the new 3DS, right?
Yeah,
that was
unless you got the SNES or the Famicom Super Famicom limited edition one. Yeah,
yeah, that was such a
little touch in that, like the actual text of the buttons, like the ABXY buttons, were colored like the Super Famicom. So like, you know, it was a nice little like touch. But I think like with the new 3DS, like the faceplates were just phenomenally cool. But like it frustrated me so much because I was like, all right, I'm gonna get like the new 3DS XL. And then like for Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby, they had like these absolutely phenomenal faceplates that you could get alongside the game, and just didn't have the opportunity to get those at all.
I think I've got like 20 or 30 of them in a box back there. But yeah, there's so many you missed out on because of the regional things and prizes and competitions.
I'm going to self-plug my article one more time, but if you haven't gone and had a look at this one with every variant in it, I've scoured the internet for so long, and I think this is every single faceplate in existence is on this page. I don't think there's any that I've missed, but there are some really cool ones that I had never ever seen before I started to collate all this together. But
the transparent ones, I had no idea that those existed.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like I think they released them in both transparent and non-transparent versions of the same colors. So
well, the title of this article is "Every Nintendo 3DS Variant Ever Released." Probably.
Probably.
I like that.
But I'm sure there might be one or two I missed, but you know, there's, well, I think 150 variants of the console and about 100 faceplates or so, I think. So
yeah, there's so many images on that page. Sometimes the browser doesn't load them all.
Yeah.
It just gives up.
Yeah, there's some great Pokemon ones, some nice little Hello Kitty ones, some cool just general Mario ones, Animal Crossing. There's all sorts of great, great designs here to have a look at. So definitely look at
them. The embossed ones that were like really subtle, and then there was the wood grain ones. They were some of the best designs.
Oh, the wood grain ones were cool.
Yeah, like just classing it up 1970s style, but still.
I think it's worth noting that like there were like a couple like third parties that came out with faceplates as well, which obviously like aren't going to be in the article because like they were just like random companies that released.
I think there was some faceplates that even had like spots to put toys or something. Like,
yeah,
I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's triggering my mind. I'll think of them eventually.
Before I die, like
some game in Japan. Yeah.
Before I die, just to bring it up one more time, I have to own the Super Nintendo 3DS XL. Oh, it's such a beautiful system.
It's very cool.
It's very beautiful.
You know how many times really I passed on that though? Like,
I know. It's same with me. I saw it at the shops. I'm like, I don't need another 3DS. And now I'm just like, I'm such an idiot.
And then Target was getting rid of them for like $50 less. And I'm like, nah, I'll be able to get one day. I don't really need to buy another 3DS just because I want it. And then, yeah, I have not got one.
Such a beautiful system.
I have the NES GBA though. So that's, I guess that's good enough.
Then we also get into the new 2DS XL, which again, I think is probably I know we've talked about how great the designs look before, but I think like the actual engineering design of the system, I think this is probably the best that it ever actually looked. Not just like the general like color or aesthetic of it. I mean, like just the way that the screen sort of fits with the clamshell design and things. I think that this is where it looks so much nicer, so much cleaner. The screen looks bigger, even though I don't think it actually is it?
It was the size.
It was the size of the other one. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a really sleek looking unit. I really wish they had done this design, but had it available as a 3D option as well, because I absolutely would have picked one of these up.
Or just released it like 5 years earlier. Gee.
Yeah.
It looks so much nicer.
I mean, it is like, it is super sleek and like just absolutely tiny when it's shot. And the Pokemon one is a Pokeball where you can click the button. Like, the button on it, on the back of it is like clickable. Just a great design.
That's cool. There's even a Minecraft version. I didn't know that. I didn't know there was a Minecraft design for the 2DS. That's really hilarious. Yeah,
there was.
I think that was the last one released, I'm pretty sure.
It was, yeah. Well, especially in Australia. Yeah. I think it released earlier.
Was that like, after it was bought by Microsoft?
Oh, yeah. Well after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's so strange. Okay. Fair enough.
But like, we didn't get that for such a long time. For some reason, it was like one of those things where like, you know, sort of you expect games to come a little bit later in Australia sometimes. But like it was a good 18 months between like North America getting Minecraft on the 3DS and Australia and Europe getting it. It was just such a massive amount of time between it. And I think
that's just the game, not the system, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And then like the system was like another 4 or 5 months later. So it was just kind of crazy. But I think like one of the big things that like the 3DS era sort of started getting for Australians is like that worldwide release. Like we didn't have worldwide release for Pokemon games before the 3DS. We didn't have worldwide release for basically any games. And like as sort of the 3DS's life went on, we saw less and less that Australia was getting it, you know, a month late or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah, even though we had to have them on a Saturday, but still.
Yeah.
If it was like people complained, it was a Saturday, but it's like, well, otherwise you'd be waiting till the week after. So I don't know how that went down in retail land, Andrew, but.
I think the Saturday releases generally went over fine for most people because often, you know, you'd have younger kids and stuff coming in to pick up stuff, so they wouldn't be able to pick it up on a Friday anyway. But I think by the time I started working, I think X and Y was the last major Nintendo release to come out on a Saturday. And I think after that, they were all on Fridays. So I remember Ruby and Sapphire a year later were definitely on a Friday. So
I remember when the first wave of Amiibo came out was on a Saturday. I'm pretty sure, because I went there and bought the whole, you know, I bought one of each of the first wave, and there are a lot of kids there waiting to get some, but I got there earlier and I had more money than them. So I just bought. I still kind of feel bad about that. There was one kid who,
children.
There was one kid who wanted a Marth, and there was only one Marth in the store, and I had it. So I still kind of feel bad, but at the same time, you know, should have been born earlier.
Man, oh, Amiibo stocks got some retail stories about that for another day.
We'll save that for a special Amiibo episode. But another article that I want to bring people's attention to, though, is another one that you wrote, Andrew, called The Life and Times of the Nintendo 3DS, which is just a really good, easy-to-follow rundown of the lifetime of the 3DS. Some great photos and GIFs here of just some weird Nintendo things happening. But it also just runs down like when significant changes to the 3DS came. We've got when, you know, in October 2014, when System Update 9.0 released, which gave us themes. You know, people are still clamoring for themes on the 3DS, on the Switch, and the 3DS already had them 6 years ago. What else?
But the 3DS had to wait several years, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
It's probably about due for them on Switch now. So.
Yeah, that's true. You know, some great memes that came out of the Pokemon Sun and Moon, you know, Alolan evolutions and things like that. Miiverse coming and going.
Yeah.
That's another big one. I mean, that was a huge part of Wii's sort of angle, you know, trying to get like a social network going on there for gamers. And it came to 3DS and then it went in 2017. I kind of miss Miiverse. I thought it was really good fun.
Everything about the Yo-Kai Watch marketing.
Yeah. So strange.
The dances, donuts.
There's the gifts that I was, yeah.
So much good stuff.
Yes.
And Yo-Kai Watch has kind of come and gone now. Like, I don't think people pay that much mind to it anymore.
No.
Like, it's sort of there.
In the West, it very much lived and died on the 3DS.
I think they were hoping for much bigger things from that series.
So, Andrew, I think you definitely knocked it out of the park with, like, these. You had five articles that went up around mid last year, all about just different facets of the 3DS. So, definitely look into those, listeners. I think it's well worth your time to look into them.
I remember when we published those articles, it had so many comments saying, oh, it's not dead, it'll live forever.
Nah, she was dead at the time. She was done.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's 52 minutes in so far, and we've been talking about our memories of the 3DS and its life and everything like that. I think that's about time that we put a lid on this coffin and start lowering it into its grave. Anyone want to make any final comments?
Check your batteries before you put them in the ground.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right.
Rest in peace, 3DS.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Loved it.
Great system. All right. Before we wrap things up in that case, we might just skip some of the other topics that we have here. Otherwise, we'll be here forever. Let's quickly get into the Fortnite forecast. So we've only got really two games of note to mention here between now and the next episode, which will roughly be around October 10, the next time that we record. On October 1st, we have, and we debated whether how we pronounce this one. For some people, it's East Origin. For other people, it's Weiss Origin. But that's coming on October 1st. And we've also got Super Mario 35. So the kind of Battle Royale version of, you know, the original Super Mario Brothers. Which would be coming.
I completely forgot that it was announced. It was just like,
and that's,
oh yeah, that thing.
And that's coming for free for Nintendo Switch Online subscribers. But that's one of the ones that's only available for a few months, right? That goes away in March.
Until
in March, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Till the purge of Mario stuff. You're not allowed to celebrate afterwards. He's
not reaching 36.
It's because next year's the 35th anniversary of Zelda, right? That's what we're all gearing towards.
Oh, it's 100% just going to be a Game & Watch.
Yeah. Well, they port Twilight Princess and Wind Waker, don't make any changes again.
Or Hyrule Warriors gets a Battle Royale update. So that about wraps up this week's Vookcast. Be sure to head to the site www.vooks.net for all your Nintendo news, reviews, and everything in between. To keep up to date, follow the site on Twitter at vooks.net, all spelled out. Ollie, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Chocobalt, Chocobalt, but also in the Vooks Discord, which is at bit.ly/VooksDiscord. We have a lot of fun in there, and we've started taking sort of a lot of questions and feedback from people in the Discord about, you know, this show and a couple future projects that should be rolling out sometime soon. So join that and come chat with us, because it's a fun time.
Absolutely. And what about you, Andrew?
You can find me on Twitter at Drowning Thunder. Still the dumbest name on Twitter.
So. Almost sounds like you're saying German Thunder.
Drowning Thunder.
And Dan?
I'm Vuk64 everywhere.
Cool. And you can find me on Twitter at Mangello with a zero at the end, or you can find me at Twitch. That's Mangello Show. No zeros in that one. Thanks a lot for listening. Hug and kiss your 3DSs, but check them batteries, and we'll see you next episode. Bye-bye. Thank you.